So I've had, I don't know, I'd say, we'll say just a somewhat emotionally, I don't know if exhausting is the right word, maybe exhausting. I don't know, it's just been a shitty couple weeks. Getting in fights with Ian and fights with the internet and fights with fucking whatever horseshit. So for this show, I'm just going to play nice, soothing music that is calming and nice. It might juxtapose oddly with my environment, because of course it's Queens, it's loud and busy. This isn't too bad where I am right now. You can probably still hear some cars, some highway in the background. I've mentioned it before, there's an overpass near my house that has God Bless America written on it. And I saw a picture the other day somebody made where on a really high overpass somewhere, it must have been really tough to spray paint this, but they spray painted "Good morning, lemmings." I like that picture. Cracks me up. Of course, all those lemmings have job security, homes. Actually, Tech Andrew, who I know from Canada, he sent me a really interesting link the other day. It's like an article about how in these tough economic times, blah, 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 one of the big reasons that people are finding it hard to get jobs is because they own houses, because they're stuck where they are. And I thought that was really cool. Just, I don't know, I always thought the idea that I was transient and rootless was a mistake, like a problem. But maybe that makes me more powerful and dynamic than the average bear. It's kind of neat. I like that. I like that thought. I kind of made peace a long time ago with the fact that I'm sure I will never own a house. Certainly not under my own means. Maybe I will inherit one, but not under my own motive power, but maybe that's not so bad. Maybe rentals aren't so bad. Because then, I mean, the other side of that argument is that, in a way, a mortgage is only about the same as rent, really. Sometimes less if you work it right. But then you're stuck. And I'm not stuck, so that's nice. All right, let's play a song that a ham radio fan sent me. I really should have checked his name before I left the house, because now I forget. I would like to mention, though, the guy who originally recommended Brad Sucks to me, who I really got big into Brad Sucks. Of all the cool shit people have recommended to me since I started this show, I think Brad Sucks just kind of, that one really stuck with me. I really like that guy. So it was a fella named Jason, because he emailed me again and was like, "Hey, do you know Brad Sucks has his own podcast?" So every Monday, Brad Sucks does his own little music podcast. He doesn't introduce any of the songs, which is too bad. It's just a playlist, but that's still pretty cool. So thank you, Jason, for the ham radio recommendation. And now taking your place is this new fella whose name I forget, who just recommended a really good song to me the other day. It's this band called Paper Raincoat. He said he saw them live, and this one song in particular stood out for whatever reason and reminded him of ham radio, made him think, made his thoughts move in my direction. And they're actually playing here pretty soon, at the end of the month, I think. Maybe it's like the end of this week. I gotta double check that. Anyway, I might go see them, because I really like this song. It's called Brooklyn Blurs, and it's, I guess the guy said it's like a bike ride, inspired by a bike ride that he took. And it's weird. It's kind of just one of those weird songs that, you know, I was just feeling kind of gloomsville and kind of made me feel sad, but made me feel better, you know? One of those topsy-turvy emotions that I'm sure the Japanese or the Germans have a word for, and we don't exactly. So this is Brooklyn Blurs by Paper Raincoat. That song kind of, it's weird, the feeling that it elicits in me. It reminds me of that movie American Beauty, which I haven't seen in a long time. But I did really like, we had this little like repertory theater in my hometown where you could go see second run movies for like $2. And back in 2000 was when it was open. And I remember the two movies that were the big heavy hitters for me were American Beauty and Fight Club. I saw them both 3 times in a week, like at separate times, but like, you know, go back every couple of days. 1999 was a weirdly good year for movies. It's strange, when I look back, it seemed like there was a lot of stuff I really liked that particular year. So anyway, 2000, once they'd hit the repertory theaters, I went. And yeah, American Beauty is a weird movie, because there are not a lot of movies that can really tear me up. I'd say probably the two biggest ones were American Beauty and Shawshank, but Shawshank Redemption, I just give this full-on 10 thumbs up, super great, amazing movie. I felt a little different about American Beauty. Shawshank was really, like, inspirational to me, and American Beauty just kind of made me feel sad, you know? I don't know that there necessarily was that much of a message there. There wasn't that much to hang my hat on. I find with stuff like Shawshank or that comic book Preacher by Garth Ennis or the show Firefly, stuff like that is handy because it's like if I'm feeling confused about stuff, or I don't know how to act, or I don't know what I should be trying to do in life, they have these characters that you can I guess it's like the what would Jesus do thing, which is fucking stupid. You know what? I never realized this till just lately. There's like one of the apostles, I don't remember which one, but he's the guy who really started fucking up the Bible bad, like the New Testament, with all the sex is bad and everyone's evil. As far as I can tell, Jesus never said that shit. It's just this one douchebag who fucking... I mean, it would be a fucked up, stupid book anyway, but it didn't need to be as stupid as it is. So, yeah, in really inspirational pieces of fiction, I can, you know, use these fictional examples to give me strength to do things that seem like they're hard to do. American Beauty didn't really have that. But, I don't know, it was just a really good movie. And, yeah, that song makes me think of that movie. Let's play a song from that soundtrack, actually. It's a really little song. It's only a couple minutes long. It's called The Rose. And it is a really nice little piece of music. It really sucks when people reuse film score in different movies. I've heard the American Beauty music pop up in other places. I guess it's just because the studio owns it. So they're like, hey, let's toss that on a trailer. The Shawshank music, for instance, was in the trailer... Was either Shawshank or American Beauty? I'm pretty sure it was Shawshank. The trailer for the first Incredible Hulk movie. It's like, come on. It's nothing sacred to you fucking vultures. Now here's one that's a little bit more upbeat. This is a song by Steve St. Pierre, a guy who I met through the Keith and the Girl chat rooms and stuff, who lives in Vancouver, but he said he's moving back east soonish, gonna give another big stab at trying to make a go of being a musician. And I just put out a little while ago, probably you've heard it if you're hearing this, an old story that I wrote called Black Coffee. That I always thought it'd be cool to podcast some of my old writing. But all the characters, all the main characters in my old writing are female. That's just how I felt. I don't know, it was easier to write them. And it was just more fun, more interesting, more comfortable. Just all around better. I just couldn't seem to write convincing, well-formed male characters. So that made it hard to... I liked the idea of podcasting my stories, but made it hard to do because I am a boy. Do not sound very much like a girl. Luckily, Ian agreed to read that story for me, and she's going to read another one for me, too, once I get my shit together and get it all finished. A much longer one. While I was planning this out, I think I asked her. I asked her on my birthday. I was like, this is what I want for my birthday. And we finally got it all together. And the whole time... In my head, I had the idea of playing this song. It's from an album that Steve St. Pierre, I think he had a limited release. And now you can't get it anymore. But he was nice enough to send me a copy. And this song always really stood out. It's called Everybody is Someone Else's Friend. Yeah, I remember like being at the JMZ stop in Queens, waiting for the train. And listening to this song and just imagining, like, yeah, when I get that podcast together, this is the song. I'm going to play a little clip from this song to start things off. And then at the end, I'll wrap it up. And it doesn't directly relate with the lyrics, but just the tone of the song seems so cool and perfect and just so good for that story. So if you haven't heard it, keithcarters.com. Go dig it up, Black Coffee. I was very proud of how it turned out. People seem to like it. And this is the song that plays to bookend it.
fussing with the angles of the light. Are all your friends the same, or is it only you just spreading blame? Tell it is for me when truth replaced the memories. And I'll count down from 10 until turning leaves. I guess the acorn doesn't fall that far from the asshole tree. And to the play this game, see who's man enough to not name names. It's how it is for me when you get rich from what I I'll count down from 10 until I know we've reached the end. It's how it is for me when my hands shake before we meet. We'll know it's the end when
people in this little stretch I'm walking down. Just enough to make it feel a little awkward to pull out my camera and talk to myself. Some people have been asking me about that lately. Just like, hey, if I was going to do a show like you, you know, what's up with this? What's up with this walking around talking to yourself? But I don't know, you just get used to it to an extent. But I don't know, one really cool thing I never thought of is, or I didn't even know iPhones could record, but they can. And Brian, who did some segments for my Ham Radio 50, is when I found out about this. The little clip he did on his paper route, I thought that was so cool, where he can just do his paper route and walk around talking to himself, but it just looks like he's talking into a phone. It's not weird at all. It was a little bit extra weird for him because he lives in the Netherlands, so he's talking English, and everybody speaks Dutch there. So, you know, when they hear that you're talking English, that brings weird suspicion to you also. That's just cool. I never thought about that aspect. But yeah, man, the future is so fucking weird. Pretty soon you won't be able to tell if people are talking on the phone or doing a fucking podcast. It's like magic. So this song is by a band called Nouvelle Vague. That's French for New Wave. And it's Devin from Atlanta who recommended this band to me. And they do bossa nova covers of old 80s new wave songs, basically. And this one is by, what's this band called? The Church, I think. And it's called Dance With Me. And it was kind of like a super group in a way of like punk band guys. The singer, I think his name was Sid Bator, if I remember right. from, what the fuck band was he from? Was he from the, who are the dudes that did Sonic Reducer? The Dead Boys? I don't know, I might be getting my stuff mixed up. Ugly motherfucker anyway. Incredibly ugly, like, wow. I always kind of thought the kid from Sum 41 had a good punk face, just because he's kind of weird and pug and sort of ugly. Sort of, you know, punk face. But this dude had a fucking punk face. Like, holy fuck, it's like he was rotting from the inside. And as far as I can tell, I mean, I don't understand what the point of this song could possibly be besides to get underage girls to fuck him. But when you bossa nova it up, it's a pretty fucking sweet little tune. So this is Dance With Me, covered by Nouvelle Vague. In the heart of Chinatown now. Tons and tons of people. Too many to avoid, so fuck it. Just have to talk amongst them. This one's actually, from what Relic was telling me, bigger than the one in Manhattan. We live next to some big-ass Chinatown shit. So I was just thinking how, now that I'm at the ripe old age of 29, I'm a lot more interested in quiet music than I used to be. Like, after me and Ian did the big, long, 4-hour show of girl music, I was going to do a counterpart show called Boy Music. And And I just couldn't bring myself to. I just couldn't be bothered. I don't know. I went and dug through all my old metal and stuff and just didn't seem that interesting. It's like, hey, I don't know. Who hasn't heard this before? I guess maybe there are people that have it, but I don't know. I just spent too much of my own life listening to metal that, I don't know. I still really get into it sometimes, but the idea of putting together a whole show and trying to find things to say about it. Actually, oh, maybe that'll work. I found old notes that I was writing for like a potential autobiography or something. I was going to try to make it a comedy autobiography until it turned out not to be funny. But, yeah, maybe I can just grab bits and pieces of that and read them as like little random memories from my life and intersperse them with rockin' tunes. It's actually a pretty good idea. Anyway, continuing with the concept of... I just saw Justin Long's face go by on a bus. I met that guy. Alright, God damn it, this is fucking... I wish the goddamn light would change. This is very weird. It's not so bad when I'm just walking around, but I've been standing here waiting for the light to change this whole time. I don't like it. I don't like being static. I want to move. I want to move through these people. Alright, good. Here we go. Now I'm walking again. Ugh. You know, I fucking was listening to a podcast novel a guy put up on audiobooks called Letters from China. He's like a guy in his late 40s who went to China to teach English for a year. He took all the letters he wrote home to people and compiled them and got somebody to read it as a podcast book. And it's really kind of interesting. But when he's describing, I can't remember what city he's in. It's a pretty major one, though. Just the crowds and the people and the heads everywhere. I was laying in bed listening to it, and I honestly started, like, getting jittery. I don't know. Shaking might be too strong of a word, but I was having a little teeny tiny panic attack of, like, the idea of that many people everywhere all the time, inescapably. That is your life. It's a fucking nightmare. God damn, makes me so glad I was born in North America. Anyway, so this song I'm going to play, how I found out about this was Ian introduced to me that song, History of Punk Rock on the Lower East Side by Jeffrey Lewis. So I did that whole podcast about that song. And one of the more interesting bands seemed to be the Silver Apples, so I dug up their album. They were like... When was this? Was it the 70s or the 60s? How far back was that shit? I don't know, pretty far back anyway. And the guy sort of like created his own kind of keyboard, as I understand it. I don't know, I have to look this up again. I don't remember the details. He was technically innovative anyway. Most of the album didn't stick out to me, but this one song, whose name I don't recall, just sounds really cool. It's like... I don't know how it'll hold up to repeated listens, but the first time I heard it, it seemed almost like a weird trip-hop prototype, just the sort of erratic drumming. It's just cool. It's a cool, weird song, and especially when you think that this was way back, makes it seem extra super cool.
Thank you. loved his soul. By heart, deep, I loved his soul. Mellow is the yellow sun, waving sunbeams in the air, weaving golden spells of rose. Magic fingers through my hair, magic fingers through my hair, magic fingers through my hair.
This totally nonsense idea to go to McDonald's. One of those weird things that only happens every, I don't know, man, it's been a long time since I've been to McDonald's for anything except breakfast. But today I was like, fuck it, let's go get burgers and dumb shit. But then I realized across the street in Queens is this place called Joe's Best Burger that intern Mike told me was the best burger in Queens. So I'm trying it out and I kind of like it. It's got like a really simple menu, like how Chipotle does. And after you order, it's the actual cash register that tells you your total instead of the person. So mine was like, your order is $9.21. Want to make it $10 and get 3 chocolate coins? So I guess I got these 3 chocolate coins, which is a weird bonus thing, I guess. But I don't know, it's cool. Like, sure, I don't want my fucking change. Why not make it $10? Give me some junk. That's kind of neat. I even like how it's the machine that tells you. Because that was a big thing when I worked at the coffee shop, where I was supposed to fucking upsell everything. And it's weird and embarrassing, and I hated doing it. So I didn't do it most of the time, you know? It's like if someone doesn't specify size, you're supposed to presume large. And it wasn't even called a large there, it was called supremo size, because they didn't want to use Starbucks terms, so they made up their own stupid terms. And I only did it when my boss was like right there watching me, because fuck that. Supremo size that, sir? I presume you want the 24-ounce drink, you fat piece of shit. So yeah, that's kind of neat, it's just the machine. Hey, that's almost $10. Why don't you just give us your $10? We'll give you some chocolate. He's like, yeah. So, this game called Crayon Physics just came out that I was kind of excited about. The little preview demo of it was really cool. It's like you draw stuff with a crayon and then it makes them. You draw a box and it appears. You draw wheels on the box and now you got a car and it drives down a hill and shit. And the game finally came out and I bought it for like $20. And I don't know that it was really worth $20. I blew through it really fast. And I guess the idea is it's more of a sandbox game, but I just don't know what else to do with it. Like, I can't come up with any more crazy, fun, weird physics things on my own. I need to have a tutorial or something for someone to show me what other cool shit I can do. So maybe not worth $20, but still kind of cool. And this is a song from it that fits well with the mood of this show. So for the record, the best burger in Queens is still pretty fucking gross. Here's a nice little Elliott Smith ditty from a little mini film somebody made about him that I can't recall the name of right now. Lucky Three, I think. And it's just him doing a little instrumental that's listed as Baby Britain. But it sounds way more like a different song. King's Crossing, kind of, although this was a long, as far as I know, a long time before he wrote King's Crossing. Anyway, pretty little ditty. Song to finish things off. I played this song sort of before. It's from that cartoon Neon Genesis Evangelion. This is Ray's theme that I played the piano version of before. This was from an album that came out in Japan where they got bands or artists to do vocal versions of the songs from Neon Genesis. And just like this was my favorite originally, it's still my favorite once they turn it into a song. And I wonder with this song, I wonder what the process is to make an album like this, because it's a Japanese album. As far as I know, it was only ever released in Japan. But the lyrics make a shocking amount of sense. You know, it seems like unlikely that it was a native Japanese person at the helm of putting this together. So is that a subcategory of work you can do? Can you be American consultant to Japanese soundtrack albums? I don't know.
Thank you. just died, or a revolved around a different sun, would our lives have begun? So if you think that you're in love with me, tell me, can you still be free?